So what in the world is happening in North Korea, Israel, Iran? Is God moving supernaturally?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, hey, friends, it is a joy to be with you today. I'm coming your way from, the Dallas, Texas area, sitting in the office of one of our grads from the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, which today is Fire School of Ministry, and he is leading an evangelism school within an Assembly of God university. Folks are planting churches and going out winning the lost. So I'm here with him. If you're in the greater Dallas area, check my itinerary because I'll be speaking at a church in Dallas, God willing, tomorrow night. So check AskDrBrown.org. If you've got a question for me, 866-34-TRUTH. If you were listening yesterday, one of the folks that was critical of what we were talking about has questions about so-called NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. And we said there is something called by that name. Critics have now used that name for everything that they seem to differ with in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. We addressed that with Dr. Joe Matera. But if you were trying to call, called in too late. I will take calls on that today, 866-348-7884. About halfway through the show, I want to speak again to my friend James Robinson. I haven't spoken with him for a while, but want to get an evaluation on how Donald Trump is doing. And I just want you to stop and think for a minute. If you were looking at headlines, you know, removing the embassy to Jerusalem, there's the talk of where embassies are going to move. In other words, other countries, Romania, other countries said, hey, we're going to move our embassies as well to Jerusalem. So you need a whole embassy row. Like you have in D.C., if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you've got streets where you've got embassy after embassy. So you need room for that. Well, one suggestion is that they would name the area Trump Town. Trump Town. How crazy is that? But then you've got that going on. Then you've got Iran being exposed, Israel with, 100,000 documents and all this stuff that they were able to get out from Iran. It's mind-boggling what they're able to do, saying, hey, you've been lying about the nuclear program. And then what's happening with North Korea. I mean, this is really, really mind-boggling stuff. And if you saw the headlines a few months ago, or see, nah, it can't be, but it's happening. And I've got a new article. If you haven't read it, it is called, Are We Witnessing a Miracle in North Korea? I want to talk to you about that a little bit, give you a spiritual perspective, and take your calls as well, 866-348-7884. And hang on, I just need to adjust one setting here. And all right, hopefully that will help. I'm on the road here and we've got a whole broadcasting setup. So Matt, let me know if that is better now. But I just want to read a comment to you that was posted by someone using the name Silver Lining to the interview I did yesterday with Dr. Joe Matera. And I said, hey, call in, but if you can't call, I want to read this on the air. So here's the question. How can this so-called expert, talking about my friend Dr. Matera, talk about not knowing what they mean about dominionism? Well, Dr. Matera said, apparently you didn't hear it, that there are many different variations. There are people who are post-millennial with various different understandings and people who preach dominion theology with different understandings. He could tell you, here are 5 or 10 different variations to say, I don't know exactly what some people mean by it. That's what he was saying. Did he ever read C. Peter Wagner's book called Dominionism? Did you, Dr. Brown? No, I didn't, but I'm not a dominionist. I don't agree with it. I've heard some of the teaching of Dr. Wagner on that, and that was one of the areas where I disagreed with him. And to the extent that was considered part of, quote, New Apostolic Reformation that he was leading, I differed with that. I'm sure Dr. Matera is more familiar with it in detail. If either of you have, you were deceiving your audience by failing to mention it when you minimized C. Peter Wagner's part in defining this move. You've got this exactly opposite. The whole point I'm making is that New Apostolic Reformation is something that Peter Wagner did give definition to and lead, which has nothing to do with 95% of what the critics are calling the New Apostolic Reformation. That is the whole issue. He even stated in this book that he changed the term to New Apostolic Reformation because of all the flack he got over the term Dominionism. How could this man be highlighted on your show as an authority who is familiar with C. Peter Wagner? He does not know this. Sir, or ma'am, I have no idea what to make of your comment because of the fact that he has written whole articles saying here's where we differ with Peter Wagner's New Apostolic Reformation. Dr. Matera would only lead the organization when they change certain fundamental things. That's the whole thing we're trying to convey. Yikes. I don't mean to be disparaging, but all I can say is yikes. Dr. Wagner stated he was a preterist. If you don't know what that is, it would be a good study as to the prevalent theology in many churches today. I'm sure there's some would be shocked to find out that this is the theology of their pastor. Yeah, I strongly oppose preterism. I've done debates against preterism. I just endorsed a book coming out in a few months called Debunking Preterism. I was going to write a book on it myself, but this book does a really good job of it. C. Peter Wagner also stated in this book that he believed that the church needed to take over the world to prepare it for Jesus to come back. Yeah, that is one of the things. For example, Mike Bickle is allegedly a leader in NAR. All right, Mike Bickle repudiates this head on. I'm allegedly a leader in NAR. I repudiate this head on. That is the whole issue. The critics misusing a term and putting everybody else under that. In any case, I've been heavily involved in these circles of pastors who claim to be part of the New Apostolic Reformation. I've turned to proving everything according to Scripture. I realize that much that is taught by this part of the church today is not scriptural. Read your Bible. I'm not critical. I'm informed and have studied my Bible and read and researched the subject heavily. So am I. Then you should know that critics referring to the so-called NAR that has Hillsong in it, that has 24/7 prayer in it, that includes groups that are anti-Dominionist, it is a misuse of the term. So let's use it the way Peter Wagner did. I was never part of that. I had strong differences with it, but I believe in fivefold ministry today, as does Dr. Matera. That's the whole thing we're trying to clarify. Dr. Brown, you are using heavily emotional negative words like conspiracy and critics and fear to put down anyone that vocalizes these truths. No, I'm addressing those that are manufacturing something that doesn't exist. I'm calling it conspiratorial because it is conspiratorial. Here, let me read to you again what Wretched Radio claims. The world's fastest growing sect of Christianity is not Christian at all. Okay, did you get that? Not Christian at all. And chances are very high that your child and church are getting infected. This is what they say. The New Apostolic Reformation movement and the Jesus Culture Worship Bands boast of 369 million adherents. Where did they get that number from? Is this fear-mongering? Quote, the New Apostolic Reformation worships God drunk in the spirit, and they teach scant amounts of truth. Christians do not need to be aware of each and every false teacher on the planet, but the New Apostolic Reformation is the most influential aberrant movement the church has ever seen. This is fear-mongering. This is the stuff I'm exposing, rightly so, as a watchman on the wall. And trust me, I've studied the Bible at least as much as you studied the Bible. Yeah, I'm into that and serious about that as well. Here, another website, and I've stated these things repeatedly. Read my article that's up now, Dispelling the Myths About NAR. Here's the claim. Are you ready? Supernatural Signs and Wonders, Dominionism, Latter Rain Movement, Joel's Army, Seven Mountain Mandate, Third Wave Revivalism, IHOP, International House of Prayer, Bill Johnson's Bethel Church, the Hillsong Media Empire. These are all a part of the shape-shifting movement in one way or another. It is gobbling up churches and deceiving millions who don't even know they become part of an apostate end time falling away. That is the thing that I am refuting. Got that? That is the stuff that should rightly be debunked because it is false, F-A-L-S-E. There is nothing joining all these different disparate groups together. And if you say, well, they're all Dominionists, they're not. Most of them are not Dominionists. Well, they all believe in apostles today. Some do, some don't. They define them differently. Anyway, people usually put down those who disagree with them when they can't fully back up their arguments by facts. I am exposing error meticulously and getting mocked for it by those either who willfully don't understand or who simply are not getting it. Read the latest article, all right? We've made things as clear as we can, and yet people are still either mishearing intentionally because it gets in the way of their agenda or mishearing because they're genuinely missing things. It seems to me that the Christian church is being blinded and deceived. Are we in the time of the great falling away? I grieve over the state of much of the church. Same here. And I grieve over the state of the non-charismatic church. I grieve over the state of the traditional church. I grieve over lots of things. Yeah, and over much that's in the charismatic church. And I also rejoice at the amazing things that God is doing. Everywhere I go, I see hunger and thirst and desire and people serious about the Lord who don't want to play games any longer. Final comment, I challenge you not to delete my comment. We'll see. What was there to delete? What was there to delete? You didn't break any of our rules. You didn't use profanity. You stepped over the line in terms of misjudging certain things, in terms of, you know, why I'm using certain words, but you didn't engage in personal attacks. We welcome disagreement. Why do you think I have a live radio show where people can call in? Okay, enough with that. If, you, again, you're a critic and you call someone that differs strongly and weren't able to get through, we'll still have a few more minutes for calls, 866-348-7884. So I want to rejoice in what God is doing. I want to rejoice in the amazing things that the Holy Spirit is doing around the earth, the multitudes that are coming to faith, the people that are being set free, those that are hungry and thirsty for the gospel, those who are willing to lay down their lives for the gospel. As I look up on the road, I see a different screen than in my normal studio, and I can just see the names of those watching on Facebook. So great to see Truls, one of our grads, fine man of God serving in Norway. Keep the fire burning there, man. So sorry for that little shout out. Couldn't resist. It's a grad and served on our team with distinction for a number of years. But friends, I want to encourage you not just to look at the problems. And you know we talk about the problems. Come on, I have a whole book, Playing with Holy Fire. I just came out dealing with problems. A good number of my books, just like when biblical authors were addressing things, we have the letters because they were addressing errors. So a lot of what I end up writing, I'm writing to address errors in the church, not comparing myself to the biblical authors. But you understand the point. Paul was addressing our errors in Corinth, errors in Galatia. That's how we have a lot of these things. So a lot of what I write is addressing errors, is addressing the issues. And I can do it all the more when it's in my own circles. You follow me? Here, for example, I can address Messianic Jews as an insider more strongly than an outsider. Or I can address, say, white evangelicals or American churches or charismatic movement. I can address those more as an insider. So that's why most of what I write has to do with issues within my own house. But I want you to know, I'm encouraged by God day by day. I'm encouraged by God night by night. Because he's moving and he's working and we have fellowship with him. We come back. I want to talk about North Korea. Are we witnessing a miracle there today? Stay right here with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So I'm wondering about this. Are we witnessing a miracle in North Korea? Is what's happening in front of our eyes of staggering importance? Now, honestly, I don't know yet what's going to come out of this. In other words, is this a tease and then the separation is going to be there again? Is this the beginning of something momentous in the unification of the country, the reunification of the country? We shall see. But what's happened so far is utterly remarkable. What's happened so far really is mind-boggling. I mean, mind-boggling. The pictures of the leader of Korea, North Korea, and the president of South Korea, smiling, holding hands, arms up, walking over the border one direction, over the border the other direction, hanging out, joking, laughing. You never would have expected to see this. And look, the reason I ask forthrightly if we're witnessing a modern-day miracle in front of our eyes is because I've been to Korea a dozen different times. My last trip, 2016, I participated in an international prayer meeting right on the DMZ, demilitarized zone, right on the border. We had special permission to gather there. There was worship. There was prayer. And Koreans, South Koreans, have been praying for decades, day and night, for their brethren in the North. They have been interceding. Number one, they care about their brothers and sisters in the North. They grieve over their spiritual lostness. They grieve over the persecution the Christians suffer there. They grieve over the difficulties of life. And they also know that North Korea's had a very strong military, and that over the years, when they do computer simulated war games and things like that, generally speaking, what often happened was that it would be clear South Korea would lose in a war to North Korea. So they're also praying for their own protection and safety. And nobody that I know in the world prays like the Korean Christians pray. So you got a few things. You've got, how dark is North Korea? You ever seen a satellite shot at night? Just get online and look for satellite nighttime North Korea. And you'll see. You'll see all these surrounding countries and lit up, and North Korea, just a little dot with light, that's the capital, and the rest of the nation dark. It is such a picture of the nation. It has been rated the most difficult country for a Christian, a difficult country for Christians to live in for years now. It is not just brutal persecution, it is state-sponsored persecution. I mean, this is very, very serious, intense, heavy stuff. Whole families can be imprisoned. So there's a father caught in reading the Bible. He can be in prison with his wife, with his kids, with his parents. And the dictator, Kim Jong-un, he's engaged in atrocities. I quoted one article that mentioned David Welch, writing in Globe and Mail in January, said, Mr. Kim is clearly not a run-of-the-mill leader. He has assassinated his brother, executed his uncle, and had senior military officers killed by anti-aircraft fire for no more reason than failing to stand up quickly enough when he entered the room or nodding off in a meeting. And remember, it's just a few months back that he's threatening war and he's threatening nuclear attack and he's going to strike America. And you've actually got American generals talking about this, that, okay, and what if they invaded Seoul, or they bombed Seoul, they invaded South Korea, and so on. And I mean, and Donald Trump kind of fighting back, like, oh, yeah, you got a button on your desk? I got a bigger button. You got nuclear weapons? I got more. You don't want to mess with me. And some people think he's crazy. What Trump is doing is crazy. He's provoking a madman. And other people are saying, this is just what the Korean leader, he needed someone to say, you think you're crazy? I'm crazier. You don't want to mess with me. Well, I mean, next thing we hear that there was apparently a secret meeting with Mike Pompeo and North Korean leaders. And then North Korea, a few months earlier, they end up last minute sending a delegation to join the South Korean Olympics team and to participate as one. And then these pictures, it's mind-boggling. Now, when I said I don't know anyone that prays like the Koreans, they've had an incredible tradition of prayer. And just a couple of examples that stand out to me. I was speaking at a conference years back for a nationally respected pastor there in Korea. And I think the churches that he was over, a network of churches, was about 70,000 members. And he told me that for decades, he led the 6 a.m. prayer meeting at his church, personally led it for decades. All right? So 6 a.m. prayer, he said, and also he led the early morning prayer. Wait. 6 a.m. prayer is not early morning. No. The 4:30 a.m. prayer. That's the early morning prayer. And he led that for decades. And then the 6 a.m. prayer. And literally, you know, he'd have a driver and we'd be driving in the car, sitting in the back. And if you stop talking for a little while, he'd start to fall asleep. I mean, this is how hard he pushed. And I'm not saying it's the way for everyone to live. I'm just saying this is a strong prayer tradition there. One of my trips, the first meeting I did in the day started at 7 in the morning. The last meeting started at 10 p.m. This was a mega church with a membership of about 100,000 through all their different buildings that they met in. And this main building, maybe you got about 3,000 people. And so they had multiple services there and multiple services in other locations. So it was the all-night prayer, once a week, all-night prayer meeting. Started at 10 in the evening. So they had a time of worship, and then I preached. And then they asked me, while everyone sat in the pews, they asked me to go and lay hands on every single person in the building. It's a Presbyterian church, if I recall, but you know, they're very open to the things of the Spirit. So think of walking through the whole, but you got to lean over it, just touch each one, pray blessing on each one. So it takes a long time. I remember they had people walking with me. Some of them had a glass of orange juice that I could drink as I was getting tired, and then the others had like a wet small towel I could, you know, pat my brow with. I mean, it was a long time praying. And there was one woman, she looked like she was from America. She was just more made up, looked a little bit more worldly, and she had her eyes open. But out of everyone else, 3,000 people, I did not see an eye open. And it took a long time to get through that whole building and pray for everyone. Everyone just praying, every eye closed, just praying. And then I went in the nursery to pray for the mothers that had taken their kids out that were crying and stuff. And there they are. They've been the whole time, eyes closed, praying, 45 minutes, an hour before I got there, holding their babies, praying. And then that was just the beginning of the night. Once I left, they then prayed through the night. And a lot of what they've prayed for, I'm talking about millions of people praying hundreds of millions of prayers, saying, God, unite our nation. God, reunite our nation. God, save those in the north. Now you see this happen. Could this be something supernatural? Again, we don't know. We don't know exactly which way things are going. So some quotes here. Condoleezza Rice said, the North Koreans have a tendency where they're under pressure, under sanctions, to come to the table to go on a charm offensive. That's possible. That could well be exactly what's happening. And again, we don't know for sure what's coming next. We don't know if this is just some kind of game, but here's what we do know. This is the first time in 65 years that the leader of North Korea has stepped over into South Korea. Think about that. That's significant, is it not? Again, what the cause for it, I don't know. But it reminds me of a story. I've told it before on the air. An old lady, destitute, and this old lady is no groceries, no money. She's desperate. And she's alone in her home, widow, no one to care for her. And she says, oh God, I know you care for me. I know you're going to help me. I know you can meet my needs. So God, I'm just asking you, work a miracle, God. I'm asking you, I'm going to walk into town. When I come back, Lord, let my kitchen be filled with groceries. And she walks out. Well, there's a prankster, a teenage boy in the neighborhood, happened to be near her house and heard her praying and thought, you know what? I'm going to play a joke on this lady. He hustles into town on his bicycle, gets all these groceries, drives him back, holding the bags, climbs in through a window into her house. Of course, she's an old lady. It's going to be a while before she's back. And he stocks the refrigerator, leaves these groceries on the table, and then stands outside waiting so he can laugh and mock. Stands outside waiting. And lo and behold, she comes in. She opens the door. She starts weeping and saying, oh, Father, you're wonderful. You work miracles. Thank you for setting the food. Thank you, thank you. And the boy yells in through the window, lady, God didn't bring that food to you. I brought it. And she shouts out, I don't care if the devil brought it. God sent it. So again, I don't know what's motivating the leader of Korea. Yes, he's been a brutal dictator. And I remember when, I think it was his grandfather died, and the people in the north were weeping as if a god died. I mean, he was everything to them, and they were weeping and wailing. And I was with some friends in the south. They said, it was breaking our hearts to see how deceived they are. That's our family up there. So I just wonder, is God doing something supernaturally? Hey, very important announcement. Everybody that would love to have intimate time where I can sit with you and pour into you on a leadership level, and I can answer your questions more intimately in a way I can't do on radio or live Facebook event, sign up for my monthly leadership forums. They start a week from Thursday, May 10th. We've packaged everything as inexpensively as we could to reach as many people as we can, but it's a formal class. I mean, you sign up for it, you register for it, do it 1 month at a time if you don't know that you can do it every month. And I'm going to be doing high-level leadership teaching. I mean, things that God shared with me that I can't share with everybody, but I want to share with you that are leaders or leaders in training, leaders in the making. And it's going to be about 90 minutes. Some weeks we may go longer. But go to my website now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and you'll just see the banner on the homepage for the leadership forum. So I'm going to do teaching. The first one is that God knows how to promote you and get your message out. It is some lessons God has taught me of great importance, and I'm a living witness to it. So that's where we're going to start. It's going to be a great time. And then I'm going to take questions. I'm going to interact with specific questions. So we're really going to shape and mold it for you. So sign up today. It starts a week from Thursday. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Check out the leadership forums.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know the saying that truth is stranger than fiction. I tell you, if I got up to a crowd, say 4 years ago, and said, which is more likely, all of America will be ablaze with the fire of revival, or Donald Trump will be our next president, people would have said, all of America be ablaze with the fire of revival. I mean, we're used to the fact Donald Trump is our president, some ecstatic, some not happy at all, but we're used to that fact. But come on, 4 years ago, if I told you 3 years ago, you would have laughed me to scorn. If I told you he would be elected largely with the help of white evangelicals because he would be such a strong pro-life candidate and a champion of religious freedom, you'd laugh me to scorn all the more. If you told me that not only would be elected in that way, but that the prime minister of Israel would himself liken Donald Trump to a Cyrus type of figure who helped the Jewish people rebuild Jerusalem, you would have put me in a loony bin somewhere. You would have said, you're crazy, man. What's happened to you? And yet, all these things have happened, and now news with North Korea. I mean, it looked like Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un were about to press buttons to blow each other's worlds up. And now you've got, you know, talk about meeting together and the North has come to the South for the first time in 65 years. Truth stranger than fiction. So now seems to be a good time to step back and say, okay, so what's up with Donald Trump and his presidency? No better person I could think of doing that with than my dear friend James Robinson. James, thanks for joining us again today on the Line of Fire.
Well, I really think, Michael, that we are witnessing the miraculous answer to prayer on the part of people who understand that we are here as representatives of the King. And with his righteousness, we pray fervently. And the fervent prayer of people who recognize the source of righteousness moves mountains. And what's happening in North Korea and South Korea is bigger than any mere mountain. It seems like impossible. And yet it is happening, and we can thank God that there was a man in office who simply said, we're not going to let you threaten us. He wouldn't have used the terminology most of us would have chosen, that I've got a bigger button than you've got.
Right.
I've got bigger bombs than you've got. I mean, we say that doesn't sound right, but in this particular instance, it might have been the only right. The thing we've got to understand is that we have a very sick world and a very sick nation, and the enemy, as I said when I've talked to you before, has overplayed his hand, the deceiver, the manipulator, the divider, the destroyer, the father of lies and the murderer, has revealed his ugliness so clearly to anyone with common sense who looks out and sees what's going on, they don't like it. And they don't think Mr. Trump can say enough bad about it. That's how bad they feel about what's wrong. But what they don't realize is that correction comes by the move of Almighty God, the Father of life and light and truth and freedom and fruitfulness. And that Father is answering the prayers of his people. And we're seeing a miracle. And God can move Mr. Trump according to the prayers of righteous people where good things happen. And when good things happen to the Father's family, we can all give thanks, and we need to. And yes, we can acknowledge together God has used a man that's unflappable and unshakable. He's fearless. He's not worried about losing something he's got. I spent enough time with him to know that this man was not thinking about the future of his finances and his personal well-being. He felt totally secure about his personal well-being. He was concerned about the lack of well-being on the part of the American people. He was concerned about us having porous borders that were allowing people to come in who could hurt us and damage us, who could literally lower our economic standing. He was concerned about excessive regulation of an overreaching government. I know, I spent so much time talking to him. And not one time in more than 12 months of consistent communication did I ever hear a reference to any concern for his own well-being. A love for his family, but he wasn't concerned about how they were going to do. Because he knew they were going to be all right. He knew they were going to be fine, that everything was going to be great. Hang on, I'm going to try to stop this phone.
Yep, go ahead. Happens to the best of us.
So I apologize for that.
Go ahead.
I didn't have it on vibrate.
No, I've done the same.
But anyway, all of this was going on, and now he was seeing things from a point of view that was not wrapped up for one moment in himself. And you wouldn't think that a man who was as, let's say, bombastic and as braggadocious as he seemed to be would not always be consumed with himself, but the opposite was true. He was vitally concerned about the urban community, vitally concerned about the downtrodden and overlooked, vitally concerned about the failure of our schools. I mean, I was amazed. Here's a man that you would think would not think about any of that, and he is. Now, here's what I believe. I believe God was answering the sincere, serious prayers of committed Christians. And if we committed Christians will continue to behave like a family, stop arguing among ourselves, and why in the world would anybody support this man? We're supporting what needs to be done. That here's a man who says he wants to do it, who seems to have the to do it, and the willingness to sacrifice his own comfort to do it. And I just think we ought to thank God for what's going on, Michael, because you and I had plenty of conversations. You and I both would not have chosen this as our candidate. We had plenty of friends that we admire, but I know you saw, because you talked to me, I was spending so much time with him and talking with him so much. I think you began to tune your antennas a little bit and say, you think maybe something positive could actually happen? And I actually watched you begin to look at things from a little different viewpoint. Am I correct about that?
100%, absolutely. And in fact, I had some other friends that had prophesied about him being a Cyrus figure, someone who didn't know God, that God was going to use, and that he would be our 45th president. And I remember, this is when I was wanting to see Ted Cruz president. I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I can't see this guy. I mean, I don't trust him. I don't trust his morals. He's a narcissist. Look at his past. He's been Democrat, Republican, back and forth. I don't know how deep his conservatism runs. Is he just trying to get votes? I don't see it. So I told God, honestly, am I missing something? And then, of course, you know, it's like a comedian that you think is not funny, but he's got standing room crowds every night and people are hysterical as jokes. Then you figure at a certain point, okay, I must not be getting the joke. Because then I wondered, okay, is he tricking everybody? Are all these people that stupid? Because that was my first thing, people just stupidly following him. And then I thought, well, that's judging others. And there's so many people that seem to be decent people that think he could be the man. So I was flatly looking at it in the natural. And then when you got my ear after spending time with him and said, Mike, something's up here. God's doing something. That's when I really stepped back. So, yeah, we have all the reservations based on what we see in the natural. And yet God has clearly been doing something in the supernatural. And look, you've been around a long time. You know all these presidents. You were close with some of them. We're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. It never happens. It's happening in just a few days.
Well, I tell you, the thing I really pray people will understand is, what we're witnessing is the supernatural answer of prayer. This is not political maneuvering. Even Pompeo, of all the people up there in place, and this is where I go back and track back 40 years with all the people I know in Washington, and the president and all the terms he uses, cannot describe how ugly, how horrible, how barbarian Washington really is.
Yeah.
How wrapped up in their own turf protecting, these agencies have become. They are dangerous to the well-being of the country when they were established to protect us, and they can. And many who work in those agencies have the right spirit. But overall, there is a lack of spiritual discernment and sensitivity. There is a lack of a spiritual or Christian worldview. it is almost anti. It is the nanny state. It is a whole lot like what's been happening in Great Britain, that we just witnessed another atrocity from what has happened there. Okay, here we are. When I go back and I look at all of this and I track what's going on, Pompeo is probably the most serious seeker of the mind and heart of God of anyone up in the cabinet. And I'd say Rick Perry and Ben Carson, too, and I know them very well. I know Rand Paul and others that are up there in leadership. I have a respect for them. I spent enough time with them. I know many of the others well know they're seeking God. But if you picked a person that I can go back and track that's really trying to hear the mind of God, it's Pompeo. And he has a prayer bunch around him that pray. So every praying Christian ought to shout a hallelujah to God that right now, and by the way, let's just take Sarah Sanders. This little girl is in love with Jesus. I mean, this girl has become like bulletproof. That's the prayers of God's people for her. She's been treated so awful. And God bless her dad, Mike Huckabee. I've told you, he is like one of my sons. He's family to me. Their whole family is. I know these people. We've got some people that are full of God, and all of us respect Mike Pence. Thank God for it. There are some people up there who have really been seeking God, and we ought to give God praise and thanksgiving for it, because that's why positive things are happening, and those positive things are affecting Donald Trump. And you don't have to wonder if these people speak straight to him, just as I did when I was with him and always will, and he knows that. There are people there who do it. Who are these people? They're answers to people's prayers. That's who they are. And they're having their prayers answered, too, by being in a place where they can lead. I am so excited about what the stage is set to offer us. If we as Christians will stay together and keep praying and trusting and exercise the faith that we claim to have and believe in the God for whom there is nothing impossible and know that he can part the sea, he can lead us into a land of fruitfulness, and he can teach us how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, because we love him with all our heart. And the only way we're going to love each other the way we should is to love the Father like the Son. Jesus loves the Father and recognize his love for us. And then we begin to love one another because we recognize we've got the same Father. We're part of the same family. And our Father hears our prayers and honors us. And he welcomes us into his presence so that we can approach him, the throne of grace, with boldness, because it's a grace throne, and we have a Father who loves to bless his family and bless the nations of the world through his family. I am excited about what we're seeing.
Yeah, so friends, in a nutshell, we're putting our trust in God who answers prayer, and he's answering in some dramatic ways. James, thank you for your insights and for the spirit of faith. I love you, man. Appreciate you.
Let's all keep praying. I love you too.
All right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Iran lied. I'll tell you, Prime Minister Netanyahu knows how to do a press conference, doesn't he? So here are the reports. Iran is now exposed. Documents that America claims are authentic, 100,000 files, documents, this incredible cache of material that Israel is able to smuggle out of Iran, basically saying this, that all the while leading up to the agreement, the miserable agreement that America made with other nations and Iran, an agreement with which Iran also received back frozen assets, tens of billions of dollars, $150+ billion got put back into their accounts. And they said, yeah, we'll use this as we have before, meaning for terrorism to support Hamas and Hezbollah and other groups like that. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to support terror in the region and beyond. So as we were making this miserable agreement with them, they were lying to us about nuclear development. And this is what Israel claims to have documented. Now, I've been on the road, flew back from Toronto Sunday afternoon, flew out to Dallas after my radio show yesterday, got into Dallas last night and started speaking this morning. So I have not been able to do deep research on this beyond the headlines and some of the stories and reports. I just finished reading a book, I don't know, 500-600 page book about Mossad and Shin Bet and these other Israeli organizations and the IDF and in terms of targeted assassinations of terrorist leaders and things they've engaged in based on a Talmudic dictum that if your enemy comes to kill you, rise and kill him first. And just amazed at the way that Israel would infiltrate, would someone would set up an identity and go in and out of a country and then build relationships and ultimately just do espionage, gather information, or turn someone to be on their side, and how it was done. So what it took to do this in Iran, you had to be working with Iranians. You had to have Israelis who were living as Iranians. You had to have Iranians on the inside who turned and realized that what Iran was doing was wrong and they wanted to expose it, and everyone risking their lives and what they do. So it's really quite an extraordinary event. And again, I have not seen a lot of pushback from those who were pro making this deal. I have not seen them answering these charges. But I mean, look, I'm not saying that it was in the mind of President Obama giving Iran a free pass. In the minds of those who supported this, this was guaranteeing that Iran would not have nuclear weapons for X number of years. But Israel was saying, well, you're saying that you will eventually have weapons. And that's why I remember Senator Cruz, when he was running for president, said the first day in office, he would tear the agreement up. And we know that Donald Trump consistently called it a really bad deal. You know, here he is, Mr. Art of the Deal. This was a really bad deal. So now he's saying, look, I was vindicated. I'm telling you, the deal never should have been made. So we shall see where this goes. But the headlines are pretty wild these days, aren't they? From Iran to Israel to North Korea. So we are praying, and this is James Robinson's point. We're praying. Forget the people being used, okay? Forget the people being used. We know through biblical history that God used some very saintly people and some very unsaintly, unsavory, ungodly people. And what happens is, if God uses an ungodly person, then on a certain level, there can even be more judgment on them ultimately, or their weaknesses can be all the more exposed. We can work through a pagan king like Cyrus that, you know, Cyrus didn't just tell the Jews to go back and rebuild their temple. This was the policy of the Persian Empire, basically. The Assyrians and the Babylonians ruled by force, and they kept everybody down and oppressed, and then they would exile populations. So let's say it would be like taking people from Mexico and putting them in Canada, and taking people from Canada and putting them in Guatemala. And you do this to try to break the spirit of the people and break patriotism and nationalism and things like that. That's how they ruled. The Persians said, well, we'll resettle people. Let them go back to their homeland. Let them rebuild the temple to their gods. Let them pray to their gods for us. And we'll tax them. And we'll have trade routes so we can just go through their countries at will. And we'll tax them. And this is how we'll do it. So that's what the Persians ended up doing. Now you could just be a secular historian. And as a secular historian, you could say, hey, that's just a Persian policy. The biblical authors make a big fuss about it. The biblical authors say that this was really the hand of God, and it was just a policy of the Persians. You could say that, or you could say God put this into the heart of Cyrus to fulfill his promises to Israel. Ah, when you have the prophet telling you in advance that the exile will only last for a certain period of time. I think I need to write on this, actually. Write a little article on this. When you have a prophet telling you that the exile is going to only last a certain number of years and then the exiles will return, which in the natural is not going to happen. You're going to die there and your descendants are going to be absorbed and become part of that other country. And that's that. And forget ever coming back to your home as a people. You know, one or two here or there, but as a people, it won't happen. The prophet Jeremiah declared it would and gave a time frame for it. Other prophets declared it would happen. So now a king is raised up and does it. I don't care what his motivation was. I don't care if he did it for 10 others. I'm going to be shouting and saying, hey, that's God. That's the hand of God. So I think what we need to do is say, yes, on the one hand, God is working all the time. In a few minutes after the show, I'm going to join my friend, Dr. James White, and do a Skype interview with him on my book, Playing with Holy Fire. And James, as a Calvinist, would say, well, God is working day and night. Of course, I believe he's working day and night. But James would say, the big news, the small news, God is working. The good news, the bad news, God is working. And one thing is not necessarily any more of a miracle than another, because it's the hand of God orchestrating the world according to his plan. And I understand that. I don't deny that God is constantly working and behind the scenes orchestrating all kinds of things. But then there are other things that we would call a miracle, other things that are above and beyond the norm, other things that we say, okay, this looks like supernatural divine intervention. For example, you're driving in your car, right? And suddenly your car swerves in front of you and you hit the brakes and you just miss crashing into it by an inch. You're saying, thank you, Jesus. Well, you're being grateful to God. You're thankful as you should be. But it was not necessarily a miracle, because with the reflexes you have and the time you had and the fact that you were driving alertly and your brakes worked, they should have stopped where they stopped. So you're grateful to God, but you're not calling it a miracle. However, if that same car swerved in front of you and there was no time to hit the brakes, you were going to have a head-on deadly collision. And suddenly you're sitting on the other side of the car as if your car passed through that car, or that car was picked up off the ground and you went under it. That would be a miracle. And that's what I'm wondering about, asking about. Are we seeing miraculous things take place in front of our eyes? When it comes to North Korea, is this political posturing? Is it that they're under pressure? Does it have to do with China? What's the relationship with Iran? How much is due to President Trump's saber-rattling? Don't know. Is this a ploy to put South Korea to sleep? All I know is, for the first time in 65 years, a leader from North Korea has crossed over the border. Now, the way it's probably being reported within North Korea is, you know, the great triumph and South Korea is bowing down, and, you know, who knows the way the thing's being postured. But the fact that it even happened to me is mind-boggling, especially for me. 2 years ago, July of 2016, I was part of an international prayer meeting. And there's been prayer for decades and decades and decades. I don't mean that our prayer meeting was the big thing. I just mean we were one little part in this giant cog going around. But praying right there, the DMZ, man, it was spooky. There's this long bridge. You just look over the bridge and that's North Korea. And the people there in such a closed world are living in such darkness. Wow. And now the leader crosses over and has a meeting with South Korea. To me, something's up. So listen, check out my article, AskDrBrown.org. Are we witnessing a miracle in North Korea? Also, if you didn't read the article, came out yesterday on There's Nothing Funny About Abortion. That's gone viral. And then one more article. So we posted 3 in 2 days for you, dispelling the myths about the new apostolic reformation. I hope you can get some clarity from that. And one more reminder, a week from Thursday, I think it's 7:30 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, 90-minute leadership forum. If you're in leadership, if you have friends in leadership that would love to be mentored by me in an online setting, if you're a leader in training, then sign up May 10th, a week from Thursday. We'll be starting these, and I'll be doing teaching, opening things up on a leadership level, things that the Lord's really shown me that I think would be of great help to you, and then fielding your questions as well. And pray for us. We are on the front lines seeing amazing things. A couple came up to me on the plane. Independently, I was sitting on the plane going to Dallas, and a guy comes walking by me and just grabs hold of me and says, God bless you for all you do. And then at baggage claim, there was a woman, and she just came over. Actually, getting off the plane, we started chatting, and she said, oh, my husband and I really appreciate you. And turns out they were husband and wife. I met and was talking to them. But she said, hey, you're taking a lot of hits, and we appreciate it. So listen, we do. We take hits day and night, but the fruit we see, the lives being changed, the smiles on your faces, they're worth it all. But your prayer support helps carry us. So stand with us, and we'll be back with you tomorrow right here on The Line of Fire. Change the world.